This is Antioch Retreat Weekend. This is awesome. They're just staring at me right now as I am giving my talk, but that's cool. Anyways.
Okay, hi. Wow, wonderful. Guys, you are amazing. It's truly, truly been blessed to be here, to journey with each and one of you. Seeing you from day one till now, you know, still maybe a little tired, maybe like, what the heck's going on? They go crazy, they go soft. We have to be quiet, then we get to shout again. Whoo, what a roller coaster it can be. Do you have a picture?
Yeah.
Let's put that picture up, because I get to talk about one of the most beautiful things that God offers to us. It really lets us know, like, how we are loved, like, why we are loved so much. And it holds, like, confession. Reconciliation offers like one of the greatest things, a part of my transformation in my life, like why I am Tim Tylik today. And Jesus couldn't do any better by explaining how the Father loves us, how the Father desires us. And it's a great section in Luke, because right before this section, he talks about the lost sheep, how he goes out and finds just that one sheep. He'll leave the 99 just to find that one sheep, wherever they're at. And then he gets to talk about the prodigal son. And another word for prodigal is the wasteful son. Because I didn't know what prodigal was, and I learned really quickly what that was. So I figured it adds to it. So if you guys want to follow along, it's in Luke chapter 15. It's called the parable of the lost son, or else the prodigal son. Then he said, a man had two sons, and a younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend to the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him anything. Coming to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father and say, I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up, went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now, the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, he neared the house. He heard the sound of music and dancing. He called to one of the servants and asked, what might this mean? The servant said to him, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back, safe and sound. He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to the father in reply, look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf? He said to him, my son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. Rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.
So, a lot is going on in that parable. I mean, I bet you can relate yourselves to one of the... to one of the sons. Either one of the sons could have been, you know, just going off, partying, do your thing. Because when it says, like, the son went in dissipation, when he told his father, they was like, you know what? I wish you dead. Give me my inheritance. I want what is mine now, and I want you dead. You are dead to me. When we sin, that is exactly what we say to the Father. Saying that I want this more than you. This pleases me. This is what I think is good. And the Father did not argue with his son. Our Father does not argue with us with our decision. But he lets us go. He gave his son all the money. I mean, this guy was pretty loaded. And not only that, he didn't like stay in town. Like, he left. He went to a different country to party. Honestly, when it says dissipation, it means like having lots of sex, using it all up on prostitutes, drugging it up, you know, whatever you can think, gambling it away, like living the life. And then a famine hits. He becomes hungry. What he thought was good and like was making him happy was killing him. Literally killing him. And he had this idea. He's like, you know what? My father's servants, they get more than I do. Why don't I just go back to my father? And another thing I'm going to talk to you guys about is the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. Because the beauty of that is us coming back to the Father. The prodigal son coming back to the Father. The wasteful son coming back to the Father. Now, just to give you a background check about the prodigal son, is back then, when you were a Jew and you worked with the swine and the pigs, like, you didn't touch them. You became unclean. You kept being so dirty, so, like, no one could touch you. Think of, like, the disgusting thing. Like, you went through the sewers. You had poo all over you. I mean, you were just unclean. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're so unclean, like, in your sin. Like, there's no way of you going back to the Father. That whatever sin you guys have committed, that I have committed, how can I go back to the Father? How can I go back after He did that for me? I'm so disgusted with myself. But He says, well, maybe He'll just punish me. Maybe like he'll take me back somewhat. So, knowing that he is unclean, knowing that he has nothing on him, that he is completely empty, he goes back to the Father. And this is kind of the same way, like, have you ever gone to confession? Do you remember your first confession, your first reconciliation? Maybe, like, you guys are waiting in a line. There's that wait line. Like, this is what the prodigal son was doing. Like, you guys are living this every time you go to confession. You're living this, the story that Jesus offers us. Because as he's walking back, like, I'm pretty sure, like, he was like, okay, how am I going to explain this to my dad? Like, how am I going to beg? You know, like, what am I going to make up? I mean, just imagine things. Think of the time, like, you're in trouble with your parents, and your mother goes, just wait till your father gets home. Like, you know what's going through your mind? Like, oh, crap, 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 oh, crap. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, gosh, no, I did not want to have the fury of my father. Oh, no way. Mm-mm. So you start thinking, like, how can I beg? How can I, like, get back in his braces? Like, oh, hey, Dad, you look great today, you know? You're such a loving father. Come here, good big guy. No. Ugh. Okay, so back to the story. He's going back, and he's walking his way,
And I'm going to read you guys another line in this that I love so much. Okay? And I'm going to ask for two volunteers. Can I have two volunteers? Okay. TD. I love you so much. Drew, Drudicus, I like Drudicus. And perfect, yes. Perfect, thank you. Awesome. It's going to be good because they're going to be father, son, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, it would have been good. So you guys can come on up. Okay. You're going to play the part of the son, the prodigal son. Drew, you are going to play the part of the father. Okay. What's it? What? Dawson. Yeah, Dawson. Cool. Okay. You know what? That's okay. You're a great father. So father's going to be over there. Dawson, you're the prodigal son. Come over there. Okay. I'm just going to read this verse one time. Okay. And then I'm going to read it another again. And I want you guys to kind of act it out. Okay. All right. So... Ooh, that's not the right book. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Hold on, you're a father, okay? It's okay, you don't have to kiss him in real life. Okay, so I want, because this is key. This is key in this whole passage. If you do not take anything else from this talk, take something from this part right here. He caught sight of his son, and ran to him, filled with compassion. He sees his son, dirty, clean, unrobed, knowing his son has probably lived a life of sin, of dissipation. But that's not what is on the father's mind. The father's mind is compassion and love. He sprints to his father. So I'm going to read this one more time, and I'm going to have the two of them. And act it out. And I trust you guys, just use the Spirit. The Spirit is upon you guys. Use the Spirit as in like how you feel, okay? And when you guys embrace, I want you to hold that position. You okay with that? Okay, cool, perfect. All right. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. Okay, hold it right there. Okay. You set him on the ground. You're going to be there for a little bit, okay? Say it. Okay? So, the beauty of this is the father seeing his son, running to his son, embracing him. Like, there's nothing there. He probably smells.
Oh, it's awful.
I mean, thank you,
Jesus. Taller, it's like right there.
Thank you. Okay, so he's fully embracing him. He is taking in his son. God the Father sees you as this. God the Father desires this with you. If you just turn back and just take a look at him, and if he just looks at you, he's waiting. And when he meets your eyes, he doesn't stay back there. He doesn't stay on the cross. He runs. Overfilled with joy. It was beautiful to see Drew just exuberance with joy, just jumping up and down. The Father delights in you. He has so much compassion for you guys. He runs in embrace and does not let go. Look at the strength. It's not like a gentle thing, but he grasps it. He holds on. Thank you, guys. Give him a round of applause. The beauty of that is when we turn away and when we reconcile with ourselves, that we recognize that we have sinned, that we have done wrong. The Father himself does not wait. He's a God of action. He just doesn't sit in his chair. He doesn't sit He doesn't look away. He doesn't stand there in disdain like, I knew you'd be back. No. He embraces you with that loving arm. Think of a moment when you guys were in such dissipation, when you're so distraught with yourself, when you thought that no one could love you. Either it was a mother that hugged you with just such tender love, or a father with a father's embrace. Maybe it was a sibling, maybe it was a friend. We've all felt this love before. This love of healing. And that's what Jesus' mission was to do, was to heal you. To heal me. That's me. In the arms of Christ, right now. Because I've sinned. I've turned away. I've looked God in the face saying, like, no, I do not want your mercy. I do not desire it. I felt so unworthy. I remember this moment when I was driving to St. Augustine, and my sister has three beautiful little boys. John William Aloysius, Maximilian Francis Carroll, and Bennett Gideon Timothy. They're 4, 2, and 6 months. I remember this was a couple years ago. I was really distraught. I was not feeling good. Like, the sin was getting to me, the lies of it saying, like, you dirty SOB. You're no good. You what, you're Tim? You go to Antioch, you think you're good? Nah, you suck. You're a hypocrite. And I was driving to St. Augustine, and the first thing, what happens when I walk through that door, Uncle Tim. They don't wait. They run to embrace. They run with their love. The Father loves with his love and his mercy and his compassion. He reclaims him back. In the prodigal son, it says that the father asked to put on the finest robe, to put on the sandals, and give him a ring and put on it. He says he takes him back. The son had no shoes. It's a desert. Everyone wears shoes. When he gives him sandals, he's saying, you are worth it. You are worth it. You are somebody. You deserve this. He reclaims his royalty to be a prince or princess of God the Father, the King. He gives him the finest robe to put on to cloak him. He gives him a ring to recover and to renew the covenant that he made with you. Just as spouses make a covenant with themselves, saying that we will love each other to no end, God makes a covenant with you. And it is only broken when you guys sin. When we sin, when I sin, it is broken. It cuts it. There's this big division between you and God. But God comes with reconciliation. When we come and confess ourselves, He looks at you and says, I want you. I desire you. I reclaim you as my son and daughter. You are mine. He does not wait. Now, I'm going to read this quote from Pope Francis, not saint. Well, he could be a saint. You never know. Pope Francis, he talks about this in the Year of Mercy. Today, in this year, the church celebrates the Year of Mercy. It is so beautiful. And so, he says this, God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking His mercy. We tire of seeking His mercy. I can't remember how many countless times I'm like, I do not want to go to confession again and confess the same dang sin again. It's ridiculous. But that's my Father. He never ceases. He never tires. And He will reclaim you as He has reclaimed me. I didn't know this until like in college. I did not know this love. I was on a retreat, and it was called Return to Glory. It was an all men's retreat. And thank you for this beautiful priest, Father Cecil. I was able to go into this confession. I was able to confess like the sins that I've committed that I thought were so bad, that I thought were so disgusting. But it was through him that I was able to be healed. He sat there with me with loving eyes, just as the Father loves. And he walked me through. And I walked out of there feeling so refreshed and so loved. Like, there was a burning desire in my heart. I could not explain. I can't recreate the account. No words can really express, but you guys are going to have the opportunity to be washed clean again. To have the Father run to you. And now you guys may be thinking like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know, Tim. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. You know, maybe my sins aren't bad enough. Maybe they're too bad. You know, I'm there with you guys. I'm right there with you. For me, like, sometimes what draws me away from going to confession is first, maybe I just don't know what I sinned. Maybe I'm blind to what I've been doing wrong. Secondly, maybe there's anger. Like, you heard there's two sons there. One was so angry. He was like, I have worked my butt off for you, and I get nothing. Maybe it's anger that's holding you guys back. Maybe you're angry at someone. Maybe you're angry at God. Maybe you're so depressed and so lonely that you could think nothing like this could ever happen to you. If you guys desire to be embraced, to be loved, to be redeemed, to be reclaimed, to know that you are the daughter or son of God, if there's just that spark in there saying like, maybe, then run to the Father. And if you cannot run, just look at Him and He'll run to you. I can't tell you guys how much He desires to be with you. How He aches to be with you. Like, as we heard in the Passion of the Christ, Jesus on the cross said, I thirst. And what He really meant was saying that I thirst for you. I thirst to be a part of your life. And it's an unquenchable thirst. I'm going to leave you guys with one more of the beauty and the power and the healing graces of God the Father. I'm going to share you guys a story about a time in my life where I didn't know where to turn to. And it was when I was in college. I was in high school. My sister went to college for the first time. And I love my sister. She's a beautiful woman. She has three kids. You know, I was like the little brother that was very protective, you know. And it happened on a night where I just remember my mom running out of the house and just driving. And the next morning, all I see is my sister at home. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. So I was like, you know, my heart's telling me something's wrong, but I'm just going to, you know, just be Tim and just wait till something happens. And later that night, I remember it was a Friday night, my sister comes to me. And she's like, Timmy, can I talk to you? I was like, of course, Sarah. Like, you know, what's up, you know? And I thought she was sick or, you know, something news, but and there's no real, like, easy way to say it. But she goes, Timmy, I was at a party a couple nights ago, and I was drugged and I was raped. And by the grace of God, like, I don't know how He does it, but He just, the spirit of counsel was upon me. Like, He was just, like, I was just, you know, maybe in shock. But I was there to love my sister and to be there for my sister. And, you know, I was, you know, make sure she was okay, you know, like, you know, what happened to the guy. And of course, nothing happened to the guy. You know, he's gone. You know, he's not anywhere. You know, he's not in jail. He's not punished. And I remember waking up the next morning and I was like, you know what? I gotta go to confession. I have to go. There's something that was pulling me, like, I gotta talk to someone about this. You know, I need counsel or something. But of course, like, I was angry. I was upset. That next morning, like, I wanted to go find the guy and hunt him down. I wanted to destroy him. Yes, it was unfair. Yes, it was ugly. But something in me, like, I knew, like, I couldn't hold on to this. And I remember it was St. Peter's in that back in that confessional. And I sat there. And, you know, I told the priest. And I remember not wanting that anger anymore. Not wanting that resentment. I believe that if I did not go to confession that day, that there would be this gaping wound and there would be this deep hurt and I would still be angry. Yes, I am angry that that action happened. It's not fair. It's not right. It should have never happened. But Christ came in and healed that moment. He allowed healing to happen so that it wouldn't rule me. Like, I wouldn't have that fear anymore of my sister going out. Or if I was dating a girl, or maybe my future wife, that I wouldn't have that fear of something of that happening to them. I was no more claimed by that fear, but I was released. And the Father again embraced me and loved me in that. My dear brothers and sisters, this is reconciliation. This is coming back. Maybe it should say the prodigal father instead of the prodigal son. Because the father wastes his love on his son. And he's gladly to waste his love on you day in, day out. As the sun rises each and every morning, his mercy and his love is there for you to take. Peace.